Liz.
Excuse me, today's conference is now being recorded. Thank you.
Great, okay. Well, let's go ahead and get started. I just want to let people know that I am working on the quote, final report, really poorly named document.
Yeah.
It'll just be basically an amalgamation of everything that was in the draft final report with updates on any updated constituency statements that we've received. Also, the public comments from the latest public comment period. And so the summary of those public comments plus the comments themselves will get appended to the document. And for ease and convenience, this document is already 120 pages long. I think I'll peel off all the comments and make them into attachments that are actually separate documents. So hopefully that'll make the document itself less wieldy. I don't think it's going to be particularly helpful to this discussion or to the council decision-making, because it really is just a recap of everything that we've received, but it is, you know, the comprehensive record of everything that's transpired to date, and, you know, we'll reflect that in the executive summary as well as the document itself. So I just wanted to update people on that, and for the moment, it's due Friday, which does present a complication for the NCUC, which does intend to file comments and also our updated constituency statement. I don't know if anyone's heard from the ISPs or from the registrars. I wouldn't necessarily assume we're going to get updated constituency statements from either of those groups. So
They were on the call when everyone was asked that question on the council call last week, and they didn't speak up.
They didn't speak up, right. So I think that's kind of a resounding no in terms of expecting them. So I think the issue is only if we keep to the report date being Friday, I can, and I get the NCUC statement kind of before close of business on Friday. I need to give the IT folks some time to actually post this. You know, I can append it at the end, but I can't. Oh, great. Hi, Tim. We're just getting started, and this is Liz, and I'm just giving everyone an update on the, quote, final report, and then we can talk about the substance of the call. But I won't be able to actually add the content in. And Tim, you were assuming that the registrars are not planning to submit any addendum or addition to the previous constituency statement, but I wanted to double check with you.
There's no plan that I'm aware of.
Okay. And we also don't have one from the ISP, so I'm just proceeding, assuming that we won't get them. So that the only issue related to any of this, you know, before the council was Robin's request that she have until Friday, which is a logistical issue for me. And, you know, I can either incorporate it, you know, take the time to incorporate it and have the report done by, say, next Tuesday if the council wants to approve that, or I can stick to Friday and just stick hers in at the end if I get it in time before I realistically, Pacific time, have to, you know, proceed with the completion of the final.
I think we don't really have any choice but to do the latter, and then should you choose afterwards, you can revise the final report.
Yeah, I could do like a corrected to reflect if there's, so I don't know how much of the text I'd want to get into changing, but that's fine. That's your call. I just wanted to bring it to everyone's attention.
That's certainly my feeling, passing the information on to council should be sufficient. You know, formally incorporating it into the report, I don't think it's necessary for any decision-making process.
I agree.
Okay.
Sorry, what time Friday did you say that you need the report?
Well, you know, again, you know, I'm just going to, let's just arbitrarily say 2 p.m. Pacific time, U.S. Pacific time.
Can you say that again? The line
2 p.m., yeah, that was my call waiting, I think,
okay.
Sorry.
I don't
always
think
comes at an inconvenient time. 2 p.m. Pacific time. You know, it was actually due, just so everyone understands, it was due last Friday, so we're just sticking it in to accommodate. You know, and Robin made a point of saying that she did have extra comments she wanted to offer, so you know, I want to include it if there's any way possible.
Christian, this is Christina. If it would be possible when that updated statement is submitted to also maybe post it to this list so that we have a chance to, you know, for me at least, even having those extra couple days to read it will be extraordinarily helpful.
Okay.
Now, this is Liz again. I know we want to get right to the motion and talk about it. I actually have one question I'd like to raise, which we could do at the end of the call, because, you know, I'm putting together the report, and just when I did the public comment summary, I note that some of the public comments, logically, also address people's views about the other options. So, you know, there are comments that say, well, we reject the resolution, and we don't support the resolution because we think the ad-based trade should be abolished entirely, or, you know, whatever they say. There are a few comments that relate back to the budget proposal. Not many, but a few comments specifically. Jeff, yours was one that, you know, wasn't your number one point, but you made a point of also saying it would, you know, that objecting to the budget approach. And others have what I guess I'm asking is there anything, because it was relevant but not specifically presented, I'd like, if we could have a short discussion on what any clarifications you all would want to make to me to just help me characterize the options accurately about why these shouldn't be considered together, if your view is that they shouldn't be considered together, or any other concerns that you think are important to note about the budget proposal vis-a-vis the resolution option and the elimination of the ad grade period. So it comes up in this context. It's not directly what we solicited public comments about, but public comments sort of inevitably were made on that top relevant, you know, related topic at the same time. So if there's anything you want to just share or clarify with me from my preparation of the report, I'm just wanting to make sure that that gets articulated accurately in terms of, and it's more clarification. If you want to update statements, that's fine too, of course, but I'm asking it more just to, as an educational thing for me. And if there are notes you want to send me an email, or if we want to have a brief discussion at the end, that's something that would just be helpful to me.
Do you want to have it at the end or quickly have it now?
I prefer to have it at the end.
Okay.
Anyone disagree?
If you can leave 5 minutes, you know. But thank you, because it's just, I think it's important to note it. And I want to make sure to know what, going into it, what people's views are. So let's go back to resolution, and I'll turn it over to the group. Should I not turn it over to the group? We had some specific suggestions about in the comments about changes that would be, you know, possibly get made to the language. So that might be a place to start in terms of our discussion.
Well, Jeff addressed a number of the issues that were raised in the registry update, and I think, from my point of view, he got them right on. A number of the issues were saying we really want it stronger, or we want it weaker, and don't micromanage so much. And I think his answers pretty well address those things.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see anything in the comments that necessitated is that right? Whatever the word is.
Required.
Okay, thanks. I don't think we need to make any changes, I guess is my bottom line. I think the motion should stay as is. I didn't see anything in the comments that should change that.
No, the issue of, what does it do to PIR, or what does it do to the organization, to the registries that don't have any tasting at all, I think the clause in the contract which says how quick it is implemented is contingent on how urgent it is, and how urgent it is will depend, is there on a registry-by-registry basis, as far as I can tell. And I think that addresses a large amount of number of the concerns on the one-size-fits-all issue.
Right, and it may take VeriSign longer to implement because they have, 1,000 registrars, which is probably double what other registries have, the closest registries. So it's going to take them naturally longer, not because of delay, but just because of time.
I'm not convinced that whatever the solution is, if it's an automated one, varies based on the size of the community. But we're not going to debate that right now.
I'm just saying implementing billing and there are changes that we need to make. And by the way, the ICANN staff should be sending around an announcement today that the board did approve the Acilius and Neustar.
Oh, great. Congratulations.
So our goal is, at least our goal is to get it done, get it out there by, it's got to be the first of a month. We're aiming for June 1st, but might have to be July 1st.
Hey, Jeff, I'm just curious, it's Mike, to follow up on what you were saying about VeriSign and why it would take longer just because they have more registrars. Why would that take longer?
You got to make updates to all the billing system and code changes and testing, and it's easier for someone who's got lesser registrars to do it. I'm not saying it will take longer. I'm just saying
it could potentially.
It could. I'm not saying it's a reason for them to delay and say, hey, you know, everyone else is taking 3 months. They should have a year. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, that you can't really prescribe and say everyone needs to implement it within 30 days or 60 days. You got to. There's other factors that may play into how long.
Yeah, I don't think we want to prescribe the time. On the other hand, they're the only registrar, as far as we can tell, that has a major, where their tasting is a major issue. So if we use the urgency clause in the contract to say why a specific registrar who has absolutely no tasting and can demonstrate it by the by their AGP numbers, you know, may take 6 months to do it, I wouldn't want to say VeriSign now therefore has a year. You know, we certainly want, for people where there is a tasting issue, we want it addressed reasonably quickly. I'm not trying to prescribe exactly what that time is, but...
Right, and you know, those were comments that the IPC made and INTA did as well, and that I should just say at the outset that I wrote both, so if you need common themes, that's why. But in any event, I mean, that was really the driving concern there, is not so much that we thought that we had to say, okay, this has been such a problem for so long, you only have 30 days to fix it. We didn't, that was not the intention at all. What we really wanted to do was to kind of cut off the possibility that it would just linger and linger and linger and linger. And I don't know that we can find a way to do that, at least in light of what Jeff has articulated his concerns as.
Well, yeah, I mean, you just don't want, I don't want people to oppose this motion or to file a independent review or whatever based on, you know, adding language on your time frames or anything, because that would be, you know, it's my view and it's other registries' view that particular part is not a policy issue. I mean, making a statement in a note to the board when you forward the motion saying we'd like to see you guys, and we'd like to see this approved and implemented as soon as possible. I don't see harm in that, like in a cover note from Aubrey.
Mm-hmm.
But making it part of the formal motion just adds another ground that I don't want to see.
I agree with that. I'm going to make the comment that Liz asked for at the end of the meeting, but just one statement, that I would agree to not implementing the budget measure that was proposed, which is 20 cents, if this one is going to be approved and implemented on a similar time frame. You know, so that puts it in saying, we, you know, if it could be done in several months, fine. If it can't be done within a reasonable number of months after it's approved by the board, presumably in June, assuming it goes that far, then, you know, we have a problem. So we're talking, we should be talking months, not
And it would only
not half years.
And I would have no problem if it said, and it would only apply to registries that haven't implemented this yet. In other words, I don't want to see biz registrars being punished if we've already implemented this, and now they're just being taxed on legitimate deletes.
Yeah. Okay. We'll go back to that discussion afterwards.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of, I think we need a similar time frame to that. And if it's going to go on for another year, you know, before it's implemented, then we have a real problem. How we do that in a cover note or something, you know, whispering to the board is, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Tim, I have a question. You know, I'm not sure, you know, how registrars are going to ultimately vote on this particular motion, given that, you know, we were opposed initially to PDP in the first place. It's hard to get a feel for that. So that has me a little bit concerned. The other So one of the questions I have is just from the registry's statement that said they would not oppose, that does not necessarily indicate that they would vote in favor. I'm just kind of interested in trying to get a little flavor for how likely we are to get the required vote on this motion.
From the registry viewpoint, I don't know the answer to that. We have a meeting tomorrow. I will better know that after that meeting. I was actually away when the registry statement was submitted, so I wasn't part of that. Although I noticed that in certain parts they copied what I had submitted as a comment. Anyway, I think they will. I don't know. My goal is to try to get them to vote in favor, but.
Okay, to the extent that we can address their concerns, you know, perhaps in a similar way to the way you did, Jeff, in your email, I assume that will help somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going. Let's put it this way: they're not going to oppose it because of the process complaint. Right, so that's
okay.
So you know, we're not backing off from our comments that we made months ago that we didn't like the process that was followed. But be that as it may, you know, we are where we are, and so they're not going to. My feeling is that they're not going to oppose it because of that.
Is there some other reason they would oppose it, given that their constituency update said that they're not opposed to the motion?
No.
All right.
The question was, I'm sorry, the question was whether they would vote affirmatively for it.
Rather than abstain.
I haven't heard that it was the plan to abstain. I think the last time we had a discussion a few weeks ago on this, it was we really didn't like the process. We don't want to send a message that this is the process we should follow going forward, but we're not going to stand in the way of this becoming a consensus policy.
All right. What about the registrars, Tim? Do you have any gauge on your constituency and how they're going to vote on this motion?
No, I really don't. And you know, I think that's something we try to get to. In fact, you know, we really haven't had much of a discussion about it recently at all in the updated statement to submit. But I think you know the overwhelming concern the registrars seem to be about the possibility of the elimination of the ad grace period altogether. And so I think what I'm hoping is that since that's not what this is proposing and that it's a reasonable compromise, and if we can come up with something reasonable to take into account the 20-cent fee that ICANN wants to impose, you know, so that we're not kind of duplicating the effort here. And I think Jeff made a good suggestion that maybe that fee only applies to registries who haven't yet implemented the policy or something of that nature. I think those kinds of things might go certain ways, at least, to getting more support from registrars.
Well, also maybe, Tim, given the fact that the board just approved the affiliate Newstar, and this is the same mechanism, that might be a positive thing.
Right.
I think in terms of the registrars, the only reason that we're not going ahead with an abolish the AGP is because of the relatively detailed response from the registrars saying there are some valid uses that we feel would have to be replaced in a much more cumbersome way if the AGP were not there, and the registries supported that position. So essentially, we listened to what the registrar said and have adjusted the proposal, you know, over the last N months, to try to address the concern that they raised.
Right. Yeah. So I think that's gone a long ways, and I'm hoping that there'll be more positive support.
Well, I just want to say for the record, I don't know how we're going to go about this in terms of going through. Are we going through the summary of public comments, or how did we want to do that?
Well, let me ask the question. Let's turn around. So we heard from the registries and the registrars. I'm assuming the IPC would vote in favor of the motion with no changes.
That is my current understanding and instruction. We have we do have a very strong preference that this, you know, the exemption, extraordinary circumstances exemption information be made publicly available.
Okay. Now, the last email, I know I submitted it pretty close to the call. Did that make any sense?
It made sense. I just don't know that I necessarily agree or believe that it ameliorates the concerns that were driving the suggestion. And to be more specific on that, for example, let me get to the right place here.
Mike, can you say what that is? Because I don't see an email.
Oh, it's Jeff.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
It was just sent. I think I sent it to everyone, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It was sent at.
I got it at 3:20.
There you go. So 40 minutes before the call.
Okay, I got it here. Sorry. Okay.
Sorry. So you were saying?
Here's kind of the. In terms of, with regard to your first point, I recognize the point that you're making in terms of we're talking about, you know, potentially different systems that are getting hacked into here. But I would think that any type of incident or event that, you know, the IPC and interview on this is that any type of event that's going to be sufficient to trigger that type of exemption from consensus policy, because that's what we're talking about here. Really, just in the interest of transparency and accountability, that information needs to be made available. I mean, you are potentially looking at issues of security and stability, and in fact, I would say that in the example that you've provided, those issues are of even greater concern.
Wait, but let me try not to be too blunt, but what the heck, let me be blunt. Christina, you guys are IT attorneys. No offense, but... If I can't, who are you to judge that? Who is INTA to judge that? We have ICANN, who is the coordinating body, the technical interface. If they want to refer something to the Security and Stability Committee, if they get reasons that they don't feel are legitimate, let them do that. But it's no business to IP attorneys, to the business constituency, to even the rest of the registry constituency, for that matter. If a registrar has an issue where they need an exemption, that, you know, the registry gives that exemption for whatever reason, that goes to ICANN. ICANN judges it against the policy, makes some sort of recommendations, and at the end, or during the review period, it can summarize in a non-proprietary, non-confidential manner what has happened. There's no reason that I would need to say that Wild West Domains, for example, subsidiary of GoDaddy, had an issue where someone took control of one of their, this has never happened, by the way, where someone's taking control of their connections, maybe it's a reseller of theirs, submitted a whole bunch of fraudulent claims. It didn't affect any other registrant. The problem was noticed within the 5-day period, but oops, it put Wild West Domains above the limit, and Neustar gave Wild West Domains an exemption. If ICANN staff reading that, if their technical committee goes, after all the evidence is submitted, says, you know what, if the registry says that's legitimate, ICANN staff reviews it, they feel it's legitimate, sorry, but what business is it of yours?
Because you're talking about, as far as I know, for the first time, creating a process under which individual contracting parties can seek exemptions from the application of consensus policy.
No.
And that's where I have a concern, because I think that if the registrar wants to say, this is important enough to us that we want the exemption, then to me that's the trade-off. The trade-off is that the community has a right to know that they've sought that exemption. It doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to get into detail. You could even have like one or two word descriptions. Fraud.
Christina, that isn't known until the extraordinary circumstances are evaluated. So if they sought an exemption under the extraordinary circumstances, And ICANN and staff decided that it was a good call, then they haven't breached any consensus policy. They haven't sought an exemption policy. It's part of it's provided for in the policy.
This is Liz. The only to the degree that those situations might involve sort of security issues, hacking, and that kind of thing, I can understand why there might be a need to make sure that the disclosure is limited, because you don't want a situation where you're sharing with the general public security breaches or potential security breaches that could have led to. I mean, that's, you know, there's a history of this in the broader security context where, you know, you may have to share it with, you know, those with a need to know, and, you know, you could discuss collectively.
I mean, there are
a group of individuals that includes, but I am mindful that, you know, from the company's perspective, they're not going to want, it's not really constructive to make that a public disclosure necessarily.
Well, that's fine. They forego the exemptions.
Yeah.
No one's forcing them to apply for the extraordinary.
Well, no, I was saying that I think, you know, this alternative where they would still submit the information, but, you know, limit what's publicly disclosed is maybe more appropriate, because it meets the, hopefully would meet the need of wanting to have some documentation or verification or, you know, what you were striving for, but at the same time not create additional exposure for the company that, you know, it's just the middle road. Is there a middle road there?
Okay, Christine, even
the bottom line is that we all have to try to figure out where we can compromise in order to try to get the support that we're trying to garner from our constituencies. And I think we're all making some compromises here. And this is just one area where we're asking the IPC to make a compromise.
We've already compromised. We're supporting
the
motion.
Well, so
hold on,
but they do it.
Right. Well, here, let me, okay, then, you know, we're just going to have to agree to disagree, and, you know, I can assure you that we will be watching closely when staff is reporting as to the utility of the exemption. Let's just leave it at that and move on.
I will note that I don't think our current motion says that the reason for the extraordinary circumstances be reported to ICANN.
I thought it did. I thought that said it said that
maybe it's there, but I can't see it looking at it at this moment.
In addition to all other reporting requirements, I can. It's paragraph 1C.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Next.
I mean, like, well, just one added point on that, and not to dwell on it, but even public companies that have to pretty much disclose everything have certain exemptions from the SEC, at least in the United States, that they can be granted confidential treatment of certain things. And that's really...
right, but they're not asking for a regulatory benefit.
Yeah, they are. They're asking not to disclose it.
That's
a huge benefit.
An additional regulatory benefit.
But, Christina, they're not asking for exemption from the policy. They're asking for exemption from paying a fee, which is part of the policy.
All right. Like I said, I think we're just going to have to agree to disagree on this one and move on.
Certainly your comments will be available to the board should they decide that this, you know, if we get that far, should they decide that this is something that's necessary.
Yep. So what's the other, I guess that's related to the other comment, too, about... delineating what the extraordinary circumstances are.
Right. I mean, all three of those are really tied together.
I mean, yeah.
One of the other ones is defining how often it occurs where it's not deemed to be extraordinary anymore.
Yeah, and again, I think that's kind of a...
I have a question that actually I'm still not clear on. With regard to point two in terms of implementation and execution, is staff going to get the information and report it in real time, or is it going to be subject to the 3-month delay?
Staff gets it right away, right? It's just the 3-month delay of the report that you see on the website is due to the public nature of that. So
we may need to specify one, you know, in a comment or something that our expectation is the staff will review it on a month-by-month basis and not wait for the 3 months or do it every 6 months or whatever.
Well, staff should review it.
Can you confirm that you actually do the reports every month, right?
Yeah, we submit the reports every month by the 20th of the next month, I think is what it is.
Including the AGP numbers for everyone?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because the AGP ones, I thought, are only published quarterly, but they're submitted monthly.
Right, that's what I'm saying, yeah. It's submitted monthly, and then it's published, you know, whatever the guidelines are. I guess it is quarterly.
Well, they're published monthly with a three-month delay.
Right, and that's my concern, that I just wanted some clarification on that.
Yeah. My recollection was the AGP numbers, specifically broken out from other deletes, were only submitted quarterly. That's what I vaguely remember, but I may be wrong.
Well, I mean, we submit it every month.
Okay.
I don't know very much.
I think it's submitted by every month now.
Okay.
Yeah. Looking at the reports, but they're in there every month. So.
Certainly, there's our expectation in drafting this is that staff, in terms of monitoring, staff will be on the ball.
All right. Well, no, I don't even know. I mean, I don't even know, for example, does staff have access? In other words, does non-registry-related staff have access to those reports before the 3 months freeze, or are they subject to it as well? I guess is what I'm asking.
Staff has it. They just can't disclose it to anyone outside of ICANN staff. And for VeriSign, it's a big issue because they're, as a public company, and since knowing their numbers will give you insight into their revenue for the quarter, they actually are prohibited from allowing that to be disclosed except after 3 months or after the quarter results are announced.
No, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just trying to make sure that when we're looking on getting our first report back from staff, that we're talking about, you know, 6 months from implementation, not 9 months from implementation, if that makes sense.
So you're saying when staff report to the GNSO for its six-month review, is the information that the GNSO is going to be given 3 months out of date or not?
Correct.
Or 4 months out of date instead of
whatever
one month out of date.
Right. That's what I'm trying to get a handle on, because it's been a question by a number of people.
My expectation would be they would sanitize the information sufficiently so that it would be current, you know, within reason of processing time. If we need to say that, we should.
All right. The only other concern that I have is, in a moment of weakness, I guess is probably the best way to describe it, I subscribe to the GA list. and there seems to be an awful lot of traffic that appears to be gathering momentum about calling for the elimination of AGP. And I have to confess that I haven't sat down to try and figure out whether it's the same people posting over and over and over or whether it's actually, you know, an increasingly large number of people.
The same people over and over again.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm on that list, and I still monitor it. It's the same people over and over again.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure that I don't want this motion to get out to the point where the council is voting on it and to be subject to the criticism that the user community was, and I don't know that this is true or not, was, you know, overwhelmingly in favor of elimination of the AGP and the council ignored those views.
It definitely looks like the same people over and over again.
All
I mean, it's very hard to measure, and I think it's an important question because it's, you know, it's a noisy group. Whether it's a large group or not, I don't know.
But you have to subtract out one or two people who just need to be subtracted out.
All right.
But even when you do that, there's still some segment of the, you know, aggregate population that thinks that's the right answer and does feel strongly.
Indeed, a large part of my community does.
Right, right. And, of course, even part of, you know, others who might have started with that, but view this as the compromise, right? I mean,
I'm raising my hand.
Yeah.
I seem to remember a meeting which included registrars and registries where that was the answer also.
You know, my reaction is that it's extreme if you haven't tried something else first, that to the degree that the AGB does provide useful
I think Roberto posted something on the GA list. He said, why kill a mosquito with a bazooka? I think was his comment.
Yeah. But it might come to that, and that's why this reporting or this, the review is so important, to make sure that that this is effective, or the degree to which it's effective, and whether, you know, alternatives are required in the future. And it is kind of behind my question a little bit on the 20-cent seat, too.
Yeah.
Wanting to understand is that, you know, not do people view that as not as effective?
Well, it depends on how people define effective, right? Is abuse of the ACT as we know it going to stop? Yes. Will there be other ways to do the exact same thing? Probably. But it'll have nothing to do with the AGP.
Yeah. Will there be another abuse of the AGP that comes and hits us afterwards? Maybe.
No, I don't think it's.
It's not going to be tasting. Reducing the number from 10,000% to 10% is not going to allow tasting as we know it. Is there going to be some other use of the AGP that everyone finds offensive, and comes in under the 10% mark? Maybe.
I think it's a little different. I think we'll. People who are considered tasters now get the data that they need in another way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the answer is yes.
Oh, yeah.
They will. It's not going to, I mean, I don't want to disillusion anyone, even getting rid of the AGT completely. It's not going to stop the problem.
I think most of us who have thought about it know that.
It just stops the use of that vector.
Can I make a suggestion, Liz, just as a follow-on to our discussion? I think it would probably be helpful all the way around if there was perhaps some discussion or some, you know, even just a paragraph in the final report about the fact that there is an acknowledgement that there is a segment and not necessarily an insubstantial one, you know, certainly not a majority, that views the elimination of AGP as the preferred outcome, but that this motion is being presented as a compromise in an effort to eliminate the problem. Because I really don't want us to get in a situation where, you know, we've all worked so hard to compromise, and then all of a sudden there's just this, like, explosion of outrage that, you know, the GNSO Council is ignoring the users again, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, yeah, but I would never say the majority.
Everybody who commented on that on the GA list, that actually got copied to the comment archive, and I thought that was included as some of the summary of comments that Liz has already done.
Right, but I do want to reference it in the final report, too, and I think it's a fair articulation of at least some of the key stakeholders here. And it's clear in your constituency statements that there are a number of big companies and large organizations that probably would have preferred elimination of the AGP at first consideration, but that are opting for this as a compromise. And
as long as we're not going to give that concept more weight than the other.
Well, that's what I'm trying to understand.
That is the weight of comment to back it up.
Right, right. Well, and of course the comments aren't a statistical vote of how many people out there. So the fact that we got 9 comments that support the resolution and 7 comments that support elimination of the AGP, you know, clearly those can't be set next to each other.
I don't think anyone's suggesting, and I certainly didn't intend to suggest.
No, not at all. No, I didn't think it were.
I just want to make sure that it's reflected in the report that, you know, we read the public comments. We discussed them. We understand that there is a segment of the community that believes elimination of the AGP is the way to go. You know, we're not, you know, it's not that we're ignoring those views. It's just that on deliberation of all the stakeholders who need to participate and, frankly, have to agree for there actually to be some change, that the decision was made to move forward with the motion as originally drafted.
See, I sort of agree with that, but I sort of don't.
Why not?
Because I don't agree with that statement that it's just as a result of compromise that that's the only reason that we didn't vote to eliminate the ACP. In other words, I think registrars, from my perspective, made a compelling case or produced evidence of why it shouldn't be eliminated, whereas the people who, this is my personal opinion, the people who said we just would prefer getting rid of it.
Well, that's part of the story. That's the part of the story. So, I mean, not the story, that's the facts. I mean, the facts are that that's also true. So I think the two both stand. What Christina's saying is accurate in terms of some of the key constituencies, and what you're saying is absolutely accurate in terms of what, I mean, that was in those registrar presentations that outline the uses of the ATP, and whether you can argue, like some have on the DA list, that, oh yeah, you could use a double opt-in or an order verification to solve the problem of the typos, or, you know, one of the 10 things you, you know.
Well, maybe the better way to do this is to just go forward with the motion, not add anything, and then if individual counselors want to put statements out as to why they voted the way they did, have that. That's what the board does.
Well, the
problem I have is that if you put something like that in any official type capacity, again, you're just going to get people who are going to focus on that rather than the motion itself. And I'm afraid I want to see the motion go through.
Right. No, the final report has to get written. The final report has to summarize everything that you guys are saying, because it's in the constituency statements and it's in the public comments, and it's my job to do that. And so I'm going to do my best to accurately describe what everybody said and the reasons why we are where we're here today, and that's why I asked the question. So everything you're saying is you know, helpful to me in drafting, but I'm going to draft that, and it's totally independent from the resolution, and I will do my best to accurately describe what I see as, you know, everything that's transpired. But I think you're also trying to anticipate kind of where the barometer is out there. And, you know, I think we should have the same discussion about that we just had on the budget issue, too.
Yeah. Liz, if we go back to history, when I made the original request for an issues report, some of us, and I know Christine was one of them, had a debate on should we be asking for elimination of the AGP or address action on domain tasting. And I very carefully kept it on domain tasting, because it wasn't clear at that point whether there were other methods of tasting other than the AGP, and we were looking for the widest possible curve. I think the issues report, in hindsight, can be faulted in not pointing out that elimination of the AGP is not going to get rid of tasting completely. I mean, we now know that it should have probably been there, but it wasn't. So I think it's important that we're focusing on domain tasting as we know it today to try to reduce it or eliminate it. I think it would be helpful if you have to address the issue of the complete elimination of the AGP to point out that there is a consensus or a general wisdom or something that, you know, people who are really interested in tasting will find some other method of finding domain names to try, even if there were a complete elimination of the AGP. So it's not going to necessarily solve the tasting problem.
Yeah, I understand, and that's a good point to bring out. I mean, it was something I addressed in the Fastbox report that, you know, these guys are...
Tasting may or may not be a problem. I mean...
Well, there's tasting and there's cutting.
It isn't tasting in the widest sense of the way it could be defined. It's tasting, it's the method of tasting that's really the issue. And if somebody wants to register domain name to see what kind of traffic it gets, make a decision whether to keep it or not based on that, I don't really see where that's necessarily a problem, you know, except where it starts walking all over other people's intellectual property rights.
But if they
so
do,
I've never,
if they
I never
do
viewed it as trying to eliminate all tasting at all costs.
Right.
Trying
that's
to eliminate
a different
method that's causing the problems we're seeing.
But now you're looking at the, you know, documenting someone's motivation in registering a domain name, which is not anywhere we're going to go.
Right.
Okay. So we have just a few minutes left on the call. I think you guys have decided you're not going to change anything in the motion, right?
No, I think when we talk about it on council, and maybe, you know, those of us who are on this group, and once the motion is, once we make the statement that the motion is going ahead as is, I think we can on the council mailing list start talking about some of these issues of why we didn't address some of the comments.
Okay. So will one of you be posting
important.
That?
Well, I don't think we can, in all honesty. I mean, I, you know, can we do that yet? I mean, don't we need to at least wait and see whether we're going to get the NCUC statement before Friday? At least confirmation from the ISPs and the registrars that they understand.
We wait till Friday.
Got NCUC people on the call right now. Can they give us any idea of what their comments are going to look like? I mean, are we really expecting anything, you know, dramatically out of the blue? Yeah, it hasn't been said by the AWAC or, you know, the GA Lister people, you know?
Or previous NCUC statements.
That's right. Kristen, do you have any idea where you guys are going with the updated statement?
We support the proposal as it is.
Great. That's the answer we need to know.
All right.
So, then I guess that's that. So we go ahead and we tell Aubrey that we've met and we've decided to not make any changes to the motion. Let's vote on it on the 17th.
What did our motion that set out the process call for? In other words, did we
call for us to meet and confer, which we're doing now, to discuss the comments and the updated statements and decide whether we wanted to suggest any amendments. Of course, any counselor can still suggest amendments to the motion.
Indeed, and they can get approved.
But this group, what I'm hearing from everybody, I think, is not willing to consider changing the motion.
Well, can I ask the question out there? Because I'd be very disappointed if any member of this group makes any motion to the council that they have not addressed here or said that they would state. I mean, I'm not on the council, but I would be I'd be very disappointed if someone's holding something back and going to, you know,
all right,
bring up
I'll put my cards on the table. I can tell you right now that if this motion fails, I will introduce in sufficient time ahead a motion that would be conditional on the failure of this motion. And if this motion fails, my motion will call for the elimination of the ag grace period.
That's not altering this motion.
Yeah, no. Is there anyone?
I don't have any current instructions to do that. Whether, you know, I don't think that there were high hopes that any of the changes we wanted would get in, but I have no current instructions. I have no reason to believe that I will be instructed otherwise. And that's the best that I can tell you because, that's the truth.
That's all we can ask from you.
Jeff, this is Tim. I can tell you this. I won't put forward a motion if in registrar discussions such an idea comes up. You know, it may come from Adrian or it may come from Tom, but it won't come from me. I would simply kind of remove myself from that. There's nothing planned that I know of, but I just can't guarantee, you know, that something doesn't come up.
Yeah, but it's not unusual for in the midst of a discussion someone to decide that you know, we can solve some perceived problem along the way.
Yeah,
I just know that if there's any kind of amendment, I know the registries, probably the registrars too, unless they're the ones that initiate the amendment, would probably say to table it, right? Because you can't just...
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult.
This happens
to know for a counselor what to do based on not having been able to discuss it or vet it with their constituents.
Yeah, but this motion's been out there, right? Especially if there are no changes to the motion right now.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If there's no changes. If there's changes, that's when things get sticky.
Jeff, is there a registry meeting between now and the 17th?
Yes, tomorrow.
To what extent are you going to, or should we, do something to address the concerns that were raised and say this is why we feel that no change is necessary at this time?
I will explain that tomorrow. I don't think there's a need to respond to anyone's comments except maybe after the vote is taken. Then if individual counsel, like I said, individual counselors should feel free to post statements as to why they voted the way they did. Otherwise, you just hate a debate coming because of someone's post.
Understand. For the record, I probably will not be on the conference call on the 17th. I'm in Central Africa at that point, and unless I happen to be free at the time and can get a good line, I won't be participating.
And your proxy votes aren't in place yet, right?
Nope.
I'm a liaison. I don't have a vote anyway.
Oh, sorry.
I give all of you my proxy.
I still want to ask you all about the budget change, and I also want to ask you whether you'd want to whether you have an opinion about offering something to for the council to consider about what they should do about their recommendation for the budget change if this were to pass.
Well, I have two comments. Number one, I assumed, but perhaps incorrectly, that by the time the board approved this budget change, they would have added some minimum number of deletes, whether it's 10% or 5% or whatever it is, that would not be charged, just as they have in other similar circumstances. I gather if that's not understood to happen, but I would have assumed that it wouldn't have been every AGP delete, but every one above some threshold. That notwithstanding, if the motion that we're talking about is approved and implemented by the board, and there's an expectation that it'll be implemented by registries in a comparable but not exactly the same time frame, since the board will only be voting in late June and the 20-cent fee would have come in place a few days later, then I don't see any need for it, certainly for registries who have implemented the change, and perhaps any of them, if we can expect a reasonable time frame of implementation. Remember, we decided we don't want to put a time frame in our motion. That doesn't stop the board from putting a time frame in their decision.
True.
Any other comments?
I mean, the IPC statement, you know, the constituency view was that the motion should be in addition to, and I don't have any instructions to
kind of. Right, but I mean, it's the sense that it's the combination that would be the most effective to eliminate tasting. Like, if you had, is there a sense that one is the killer app and the other is just a good to have? Or, you know, I'm trying to figure out.
If $6.50 doesn't do it, $6.70 will not eat.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to sort of get my hands around.
That's very true. And
20 cents is so de minimis. I mean,
and if our proposed solution is effective in doing what it's supposed to do, then the fee is only applied on deletes, on legitimate deletes.
Right.
And that, to me, I can't come to grips with, it's just a tax.
Well, the IPC view is that it's a cost of doing business.
Passed on to registrants.
I mean, again, we're going to have to agree to disagree on this.
Passed on to registrants.
So be it. You know, my son told me this morning in the way to daycare that he doesn't like the Kix cereal anymore. It doesn't taste as good as he thought. I can't take it back to the grocery store. I mean, you know, that's kind of what the IPC view is on this. I've just seen all kinds of stuff about, let's just agree to disagree and say that the IPC continues to support both and feels that the combination of the both is most effective. And I don't, at this time, have any instructions to contradict that.
Okay.
Can I ask a question, though, if the IPC discussed this? Was it above a certain threshold, or every single name in the AGP should be charged, no matter how much?
Every single one.
And
you're
why?
Talking about for the 20%, the 20 cents, right?
Right. And
yeah.
What's the rationale?
Cost of doing business.
Well, there already is a 20-cent fee on every registration, but you're now talking about. I'm still unsure. If tasting's gone, if that's the presumption and tasting goes away, help me understand what the fee is for. Like, ICANN's not doing any extra work. No offense, Liz. but if tasting goes away, there's actually no work being done by ICANN staff.
I think it's, you know, our view is that it's an incentive to put in place mechanisms that will ensure that there's kind of all of the quote-unquote legitimate uses are not really even necessary.
Frankly,
we're skeptical that this is going to completely eliminate it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's part of it. And that's, frankly, the starting point, is our skepticism.
Jeff, I have a question. assuming the budget, ignoring our motion,
right,
and the budget proposal goes ahead, and the board approves the budget 4 days before the end of June, when does that become, that motion, that change become effective? Would it be effective July 1st, in your mind?
If the board passed the motion, in my mind, it would become effective. It's retroactive, so yeah, it would be effective July 1.
And
for that fiscal year.
And sometime later, that they'd figure, people would figure out how to actually do the accounting retroactively.
Yeah.
Okay.
And my biggest problem with the whole thing is that ICANN's got the right, if registrars don't pay, to charge registries.
Understand.
So my biggest problem is if a registrar has a delete, if they take it back and we give them credit, now ICANN can come to us and demand the 20-cent fee, even though we've paid all the money back to the registrar.
Okay. From a practical point of view, is anyone going to do any rewriting of accounting systems prior to the budget approval?
Phileas and Neustar may have already...
No, but I'm talking regarding the 20-cent fee.
Well, I think that's registrars. I don't know.
Okay. I find it hard to believe that, and this is my perspective, clearly, that the board, in a board meeting the week of the Paris meeting, is going to approve some version of our motion and at the same time approve a budget which levies the other 20 cents in parallel.
Yeah, you're going to hear strong opposition from a number of people,
right,
to that.
So I think what we say at this point is somewhat moot. I just can't see the rationale for the board making that decision, assuming that they have consciously been appraised of the issue.
And let me be consistent too in my statements. Just like I said, we should not have a council specific statement on extraneous things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there should be a council statement on the budget fee at this time. If the motion gets passed and we have a consensus policy, and then the council wants to regroup and feel like it wants to say something on the budget fee, it should do so at that time.
I mean, certainly, if this budget is approved, not this budget, if this motion is approved, it would be interesting to see a motion raised by the registries or registrars that the GNSO, in light of approving the domain tasting resolution with a supermajority, that the GNSO proposes not to levy that the board not levy the 20 cents. And there's a month or two to do that one. So that can certainly be a second action after,
right,
this is approved.
Okay, well, thanks. And it's just 2 o'clock here, or just at the hour, so I don't know if there's more folks want to try to do today.
This is Tim. I just think that in order to garner registrar support, there will have to be some reasonable assurance that an attempt will be made to not have both of these things go through. How we'll do that, I don't know. Perhaps what Alan suggested is a good idea with perhaps a motion. But I think they'll feel pretty much like Jeff is explaining that, if this policy goes through and we support it and it actually does eliminate tasting, then why should they continue to be taxed on legitimate rates? Still haven't heard any good explanation.
But as a practical matter, how are you going to know that?
What do you mean, how are you going to know? If there's no threshold?
No. How are you going to know? I mean, you're not going to know whether this motion, assuming it's passed, blah, blah, blah. You're not going to know whether it's effective.
Well, sure you will. You'll know within 1 month. Or the registry will know within 1 month.
Well, yeah, exactly, but no one else will.
But Christina, whether it's effective...
The board can always go back and revisit the fee issue at any point. I mean, it's not a consensus policy. It doesn't require... GNSO approval. All they have to do is propose it, get the board to approve it, and the registrars to vote on it. And if they don't approve it, then it's just automatically implemented to the registry. So,
and let me change my answer. The ICANN board will know after 1 month.
Yeah. I mean, let's
go through and just, you know, make sure we have our bases covered.
But, Christina, let's look at what happens if this motion is approved, the board adopts it. If tasting is going to continue using the kind of mechanisms we're talking about, then the 20 cents is not likely to change it. $6.50 or whatever the fees are going up to now to $6.70 is not going to change very much. Or registries, registrars, and ICANN are going to make windfall profits if indeed it is worth $6 to taste all these names. But the dynamic is so varied that to say what's going to happen at the next stage, I think, is why we put the review in.
Well, exactly. And that's, you know, part of the reason that I think, you know, it's not the primary reason, but one of the reasons that the IPC supports pursuing both. Because we want to make darn sure that this is taken care of. And are we convinced that either is going to be 100% effective? No. But are we more inclined to think that the combination of both will be? Sure, absolutely. Do we have concerns about how long it will actually take VeriSign to get this implemented? You betcha.
And that, and
so,
that's, and
so
that's
if
consideration.
In the meantime we have the budget fee in effect, that's exactly what we need. If it turns out that, let's just say for purposes of discussion, in December VeriSign has put it into effect, it's been in effect for 1 month, it's clear that it's actually working, fine. Somebody recommend to the board or whatever the appropriate mechanism is that, look, this other thing is working. We don't think you guys need this fee any longer.
Okay.
But until we get everything ramped up, I think you're just, that's kind of where we're coming from.
Yeah, I could certainly support the fee until the new thing is implemented. That I have absolutely no problem, although it sounds like it's an awful lot of accounting work on the short term, but I could certainly support it.
But you mentioned something different. You mentioned you would support the fee with some sort of threshold.
Well, I would support, there's a number of things that would make me happy. The threshold would make me happy. Not, implementing it only until the new one is implemented would also make me happy. In both cases, it's gone after the new process is implemented.
I'm a little confused here. If the current motion were to carry, and there's no refund over 10%, wouldn't the ICANN fee be charged there anyway?
Yes.
So doesn't that already incorporate the threshold?
Hold on. No, according to the current wording in the budget, it does not apply to AGP deletes. In our motion, these are still AGP deletes. They're just ones you paid for. So this might require some wordsmithing to make it right.
But my guess is if a registrar is going to go over the 10%, they're not going to delete, and they'll keep the names, and then they'll end up paying the ICANN fee anyway.
Perhaps.
I can't imagine a registrar going, yeah, we know we're going to get charged, but we're not going to keep the names.
It's interesting. In that case, the let's see. No, okay. The 20-cent fee is to a registrar in any case, although the registry is liable if they don't pay. But,
right. Which I got to tell you scares the heck out of the registry because there's no mechanism to recover any fees for us, and we have to refund the registrar.
Right.
So there's double dip. We have to pay the registrar and pay ICANN for something we didn't do.
If this motion passes with a supermajority, then the council may have some work to do to suggest to the board what to do about the other fee. And there may not be unanimity, but we probably have an obligation.
And what's the significance of it passing with supermajority?
Well, if it passes with a supermajority, the board is obliged to implement it.
Oh, I see.
Unless.
But that's not likely to happen. Or is it possible that that could happen? Just supermajority.
It depends.
Yeah.
Like it seems like we're unanimous.
That's what we're trying to get to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
If the GNSO doesn't have a supermajority, then it implies registrars and or registries have not supported it, and the board may have second thoughts.
Right.
That's
the
reality.
But if it passes a supermajority, the board has to reject it
with
by a
supermajority, which is not likely.
Well, and the also thing, if you look at the contracts, if it's not
one could easily make the argument that if it's not a supermajority support, that it's not, quote, the view of the council as it's defined, and therefore it's not a consensus policy, and therefore the board cannot impose it on the registries.
I don't know if one can really take that view, but
the board and their lawyers would discuss that.
Absolutely.
Not right
one
now.
Could easily, actually, it's very supportable in the contract. Not just supportable, it is the way it is. So, let's not get into that. Yeah.
No, let's not. Let's not. I think, you know, actually, I got to run here. I think I don't have anything else to say on this. So.
Thank you all.
Good luck on the 17th.
Good luck on the 17th.
I'll let you guys know by email if something's going to turn out differently.
Okay.
Right. And Tim, if you could possibly give us a heads up if there are going to be amendments coming from the registrar constituency.
Yeah, I'll try.
I don't
want
to put you in an awkward position, but to the extent that we can know ahead of time to try and figure out, like, how to respond as opposed to just having to train wreck on the 17th.
We'll have to be out there pretty quickly because I think it hasn't been posted by the 10th to the list, right, even to be considered. So
why don't we, who wants to go ahead and make this motion formally to the council? Why don't we just do that now? I can do it, or Christina, or anybody wants to, but.
Well, let's get Alan to do it. His original issues report.
There we go. I can't.
You can't make a motion?
I don't think so. I can't vote. I don't think I can make motions.
Well, you're not going to be there either.
I also won't be there, yeah. I don't think I can make a motion. I'm pretty sure I can't motion or a second.
I could go ahead and do it tomorrow. All right.
Why don't you wait till after the final report comes out? Or do you need to by tomorrow? I don't know what the time is.
You don't need to. I just want to do it as soon as possible so that people have as much time as possible to come up with any
why don't you post something to the council list that based on the discussion today it appears it's unlikely that there are no changes to the motion. We don't have the final report. We understand there may be updated constituency statements, but at this point we don't anticipate any changes. And that way on the 10th we will have had the NCUC and whoever else is going to do something, and that way we're kind of listening to everybody's voice.
Do we want to schedule another call for next week just as a contingency?
Oh, just go ahead and shoot me.
I think Christina should make the motion, not Mike.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because your constituency has had some qualms.
Well,
if you're willing to support it anyway, I think it's a nice touch. That's just me.
Let me see if I get any squawks from my people. And as long as it's okay, I will. I mean, I defer to you guys. I'm going to be hard-pressed to spend more time on ICANN next week in addition to the 2 hours for the 2 days for the face-to-face thing. So.
Okay. I will have mail when I email when I'm away, but it may well be only once a day or so. Just in case anything comes my way that you need an answer to.
All right. So no one has objection then to me making the motion, just qualifying that we still might have further comments and stating that we should, ask for anybody to, if they have any objections or proposed amendments, to make them as soon as possible.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, Mike, when you make the motion, just let everyone know that we met and that there were no changes.
Of course. No, I will. That we met and conferred. We went through the comments and the updated statements, blah, blah, blah.
Extensive conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Goodbye, all. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.